Good morning. It's great to have some people back, and then also we got some that are hopefully coming back this week. And thankful for everyone that's here. Thank you for those that are visiting with us too. It's nice to have when everybody leaves for Christmas and New Year's, nice to have some other family to come in. And so it's great to have people here. If you'd like to get in your Bibles this morning, we're going to be at two passages of scriptures: James chapter number 4, and also Ephesians. James chapter number 4. And Ephesians chapter number 5. I was trying to decide between the two passages and decide to just use both of them. They both have talk about planning and things like that as we consider the new year. But we're going to give you a couple quick announcements and then we'll jump right into the message. Remember today, the big thing going on is our New Year celebration day. We have it in the morning service, we reveal the theme for 2024. In the afternoon service, we will reveal the new theme song. And so excited about that. In between that, we are going to have lunch here. We have our chili cook-off, our annual chili cook-off. And so if you like chili, great. If you don't like chili, there's still going to be some other things that are there too. They're going to have some sliders back there, which are little sandwiches. They're going to be, I think, four different types. Things like that to go along with the chili and then whatever else anybody else brought in. And of course, I'm sure there'll be plenty of desserts. There's always plenty of desserts because that's important to many of us. And then other things like that and drinks and things like that. So we want you to stay and be a part of the day with us. Normally, our goal is to be done around 3:30 today. We're going to go from Sunday school, Sunday morning, then having lunch. Hopefully, afternoon service start about 1:30. And at 2:30, for those that want to stay around, and I encourage you to, we're going to have a little bit of a game time. Out here in the auditorium. It won't be any type of physical games. It's going to be, we call them like PowerPoint game or a platform type game, something that's done out here. And so we want you to stay and be a part of that. We do some type of, because of this New Year celebration, we do this every year. Usually we have had the games inside the service a little bit, but not everybody likes to play the game. So that's why we put it at the end this year and we're going to do a couple little interesting things. So I encourage you to come, stay, be a part of it. Other things going on, Christmas card table. There's Christmas cards out there. And if you have not picked them up, please pick them up. If not, someone's going to track you down and give it to you. And you say, well, nobody gave me a Christmas card. You might be surprised. So they're out there. So I know that some that like to try to give to everyone. So that's there. Also, if you see somebody that maybe is a shut-in or hasn't been around for a little while, you see that stack of cards there with them, take them to them and tell them you miss them, especially if they're shut in, encourage them. I know we've done that a little bit already, but if you see somebody there that hasn't been around and you've been missing them, it's a great way to say, just drop off, say, hey, these at the church were there. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, it's important. Outreach is super important. Reaching out to those that are lost is key, but also, those that are shut-ins that don't get out very often, they love visits too, so I would encourage you to do that. Cleaning and grass cutting schedule still out there. Be out there for another week or two. Just because of the fact that we take it away doesn't mean that all the jobs got taken up. So if you can help us with one of those this year, that'd be great. Ladies Appreciation Luncheon. So this is a new one. We're doing it this year. Once again, we're doing it during the winter month. We're actually going to do it on January 27th. Next week, we'll give you some more details about that. But I want you to mark your calendars for that, ladies. January 27th. And it's a month away from yesterday, 4 weeks away from yesterday. Outreach Saturday is February 3rd. I Love My Church Sunday, February 11th. Missions Conference, February 28th and March 3rd. And then we have the ladies' retreat dates and the men's retreat dates there. And we'll go over that a little bit more some other time. Okay, so this morning, our thought processes as New Year's is coming tomorrow. I know all of us realize that. I enjoy New Year's. I enjoy what it means, what it stands for, and the idea that it's something that you many times will take time to look at your priorities. You'll establish where you want to go for 2024, go for that year, all those different things. So I enjoy the idea of New Year's. I don't think that you should put things off. If you know you're supposed to get right with God, no sense waiting for a certain date. You should always just get right with the Lord. But at the same time, that it's good to take a certain spot during the year and just to kind of examine where you're at and where you like to be. I enjoy doing that in many different facets, whether as a pastor, as an individual, family, you know, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, all those different things. And lots of people this coming week or maybe have already made what they would call resolutions and things like that about things they want to change. And while we do that, I like to look at these passages of scriptures and help us give you some biblical guidelines of how this could make it the best year ever. You know, whenever you're serving the Lord, it can always be the best year ever, because if you're in the middle of doing God's will, guess what? No matter what it is, it's the best thing for your life. So two passages of scripture, like I said, I was trying to decide between two of them. We will go back and forth. The first one's found in Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll look at verses 15 through 17. This passage of scripture and the other one, I think, will help us in establishing our priorities and establishing the direction of things that we might want to change in our lives, especially when considering 2024. First, when you look at Ephesians chapter number 5, look what it says in verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, once again, a familiar passage of scripture. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then it says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." A couple of things I want you to focus on here for just a second is, you know, we need to be walking circumspectly, meaning that we're being careful. Also, that last phrase, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's go to James chapter number 4 also. James chapter number 4, another passage of scripture that I think could help you when it comes to planning, considering what's going to be happening this upcoming year, changes you might want to make in your life. James chapter number 4, and let's look at verses 13 through 17. James 4, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Go to now that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today in this study. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us today. Lord, as we are, many of us are considering what next year should look like, the things that we are desiring, help us to understand some important truths that are found in these scriptures. But also, most importantly, help us just to seek your will for our lives. Lord, in this passage of scripture, it does not condemn preparing. And actually, the Bible talks about being prepared for things. But it does talk about not preparing and the idea of not consulting with the Lord, how that's wrong. And Lord, I pray you give us some wisdom and guidance, some practical things that we can take with us and that we consider as we consider what 2024, what we'd like for it to be. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first thing I want you to think about, if you're looking at principles, a certain principle, the idea of how to embrace the new year, or a principle in the idea of developing a right thought pattern for the new year, first thing I want you to think about is our time on earth is limited. And the first thing as you're developing, hey, look, what do I want 2024 to look like? Our time on earth is limited. I know there's different age groups in here, and we got some guys that are in the young 20s back there, even some older teenagers, and then we got some of us that are getting there in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And I think that there's some that's even really, really close to 90. But the reality is our life is short. So if you're going to make decisions and have principles when it comes to what am I going to do in 2024, what type of changes do I need to make, then let's consider this, that our time on earth is limited. You say, where do you see in this passage? Well, there's a couple spots. Here in James chapter number 4, look what it says in verse number 14. It says, "Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow." And he even says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So the first thing, if we're going to think, okay, what do I want 2024 to look like, is I need to understand my life. I don't know how long it's going to be here. As I'm making these decisions, as I'm making plans, I need to realize, put it into perspective, is that my life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while and it's gone for a little while. And I know that as you get older, sometimes you go back and you look at things and you're thinking, man, where did life go? Where did 2023 go? And that's why it's good to have perspective and have times of reflection and times of looking at things and considering things and saying, hey, what is it that I should change? What is it that I want to work on? And this is not the only spot in the Bible. Think about what it says in Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. So if we will learn to number our days, we'll learn to say, hey, look, the Bible says that we have 70 years, maybe 80. And I know that different lengths of ages have changed over the years. But you think about it, we have a set number of days. And the Bible says if we will teach us to number our days, guess what? We should apply that to our hearts, apply that to our wisdom. I remember years ago, we looked at that different thought of the different gas tanks and, you know, how a person that was just a newborn had a full tank of gas, and a person that was in their teens and early 20s had three quarters of a tank, and the person that was in their mid, 40s, or actually probably mid 30s to mid 40s, you got that half a tank, and then you're getting to that 60-year age group and you got a quarter of a tank, and then those that are 75 to 80, boy, they're empty, and then those that are 80 to 90 to 100, boy, they're past empty. They're all the way down. They got the red light on. And how if we will look at our lives and say, you know what, in my life, I do not have a long life to live. I only have a short period of time to live for God. And as we're making directions and we're making thoughts and we're making plans and we're doing all these different things, it would be important, it would be good, it would be wise, as the Bible is saying, to teach us a number of days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We must remember that God also tells us that we're frail. Bible says in Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And sometimes people are stronger and they're in great shape and they have, sometimes you see these bodybuilders and other things like that, but we're all frail. We're as dust. We have no guarantee for tomorrow. So as you're looking at this and say, okay, what's 2024 going to look like? What changes do I want to work on? What are things that God wants me to do? I got to remember first is that my life, there's no guarantee. It's limited here on earth. I need to make this count. And he said, well, where do you see that in Ephesians? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, if you go back and you look at it, what does it tell you? It tells you to walk circumspectly. It says specifically, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? How do you want? You got to be circumspect because we don't know how much time we have in this world. We don't know if 2024 is your last point here in this world, if this is your last year. We don't know if Christ could return. If Christ would return, Christ, if he comes back for his church, then guess what? This is it. So we only have a certain amount of time to make things count for the Lord. So as you're making thoughts, okay, I want to change things in 2024. This is what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. Okay, have you put this in your thought pattern? Your time is limited. Not only is it that important, but I think the second one is just as important, if not even more important. You see here, seek to understand the will of the Lord. Seek to understand the will of the Lord. Go back to James chapter number 4. In this passage of scripture, what they're teaching you here is to understand, yes, we're supposed to prepare. And that's what he says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, or we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So this in verse 13 is saying, I'm going to determine what I'm going to do tomorrow and what I'm going to do this next year. So as you're looking at these goals and saying, okay, these are the resolutions, these are the changes I want to make. He's saying, for the person that thinks this way, that I'm going to decide for myself what I should do and what I shouldn't do, they're saying it's foolish. So it says in verse 13, it's saying there, hey, the person who decides this, he says in verse 14, whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away. He says, that's foolish. It's foolish to make all these plans without including God. Look what it says in the next verse. It says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And it's the whole point is understanding the will of the Lord. You go back to Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The desire here is not, okay, I see my needs here. I see needs spiritually. I see needs physically. I see needs financially. I see needs, in my family. And let me sit down and let me reason this out and let me figure all this out and say, well, if I change this and I change that, it's not about I, it's about, okay, what is God's will for my life? And when I understand what God's will for my life is, that's what I'm going to be seeking. Okay, Lord, what is it that you desire? I tell young people all the time, it's not just young people, it's just easier, pick on them. You know, yes, everybody has plans, everybody has desires, everybody has things that they think they might want to do as they get older. I says, well, what does God think? Throw out the window what it is that you think that you want and say, what is it God wants for my life? Because we know doing God's will is the best thing. And we know and understand that if we will do God's way, then God will lead us and guide us and direct us. And I'm not going to suggest the will of God for anyone's life but my own. But at the same time, there are things that we know that specifically the Bible talks to us about doing the will of the Lord. For that ought you to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. So he's saying in this passage of scripture, it's not foolish in verse 13 to say, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this, because planning is important. If you show up and you don't have things planned, it's going to be a mess. This morning, there was a lot of people here doing things when it comes to meal and lunch. One of the teenagers had made breakfast for the other teenagers. I mean, they were things that were planned out. They were laid out. They were focused and different things. They had to get a lot of things done, a lot of things accomplished just to make things happen. If none of that was planned out, you know what would happen? It would be a mess come lunchtime, and it would take forever. And then by the time afternoon service came, if we didn't have a plan, we say, hey, Brother Jim, just come on up and do whatever you want. And, you know, whoever wants to preach can preach. You know, no, everything needs to be planned. But the point is, it says here in verse number 15, we should be looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? The Lord wants me to do this. That the Lord wants me to do that. And so when we come to making a New Year's resolution, and you call it whatever you want, but when we start comparing our lives and saying, what is it God wants for me in 2024? Look what it says in verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. What's the boastings we're referring to? Is in verse 13, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to accomplish this and this and this, and I'm going to do all these things. It's not going to happen unless God allows it to. And that's why we must consult with the Lord in verse 15. And then he's saying in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So when we're seeking to understand God's will, these verses teach us that there's nothing wrong with planning and preparing. It's the fact that we should ask the Lord. And so when we come all the way down to and say, whose life is it anyway? If it's the Lord's life, then guess what? Who should we be asking? I know we used this illustration before that sometimes somebody might ask you to pet sit. And if it's their dog, you're going to ask them, hey, can you do this for that for my dog while we're gone? Sometimes people are like, sure. And the good sitter is the one that's going to do it the way that the owner of the pet will have it done. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And same thing with our lives. It doesn't belong to us. We've been bought with a price. And if it's God's life, and then if it belongs to him, we've given it to him, we should surrender to him. What is it that we should do? God, what is it you want for my life? Not what I've decided. Oh, I think this is best, and I think this is best, and tomorrow I'm going to do this, and next day I'm going to do this. Because that's exactly what they were doing in verse 13. They had planned out their days. They had planned out their life. They had planned out their year without ever taking the time to seriously pray and ask God, what is it you want me to do? What is it you desire for my life? And so we need to remember, if we're going to really seek the Lord in 2024, we must understand that our life is limited. Even though it might seem like we have forever, we are no guarantee for tomorrow. But also, we should seek to understand the will of the Lord. We should, being a good steward, being a good manager of our lives, means that we will prepare and plan. But at the same time, we should seek the will of the Lord. So how do you seek the will of the Lord? So underneath this thought is, number one is avoid presumptions. Avoid presumptions. What do you mean? Well, that's what it's saying here when it's talking about in verse number 13. They're presuming that they are going to be able to go to the city. They're going to be able to do this. They're going to be able to do that. And the passage of scripture is saying it's not condemning them for setting the goal. They're condemning them for making the goals without God's plan. Planning itself is biblical, but doing without God is not wise. So teach us a number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Think about the story in Luke. Remember the man who made plans without consulting God. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, that thou hast much goods laid up for many years. take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So he comes to the point, this man says, hey, I got all these things, it's bountifully. This is all mine. Look at all these things. And he says, I'm going to tear down everything. I'm going to build it all back up again. Who does he not consult? He doesn't consult the Lord. And what is he called? He's called a fool. So often in our lives, we like to make our plans and we don't consult the Lord and we make foolish decisions. Oh yeah, they can do that. And they can do this. And even people do it with their families and they do it with their finances. It's the point. Let's consult the Lord. Don't presume upon the grace of God and what God's doing in your hearts and life that, hey, I'm going to have tomorrow. Next thing is don't presume, but also assess God's purposes. Think about it. What does God desire for our lives? If we pull it all back, we see the fact that we belong to the Lord. And even it says, and whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to what? Anybody know? The glory of God. That's what he says. No matter whether you're eating or drinking, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if our lives, if our intention is to bring glory to God, how are we going to know what brings glory to God? Some people are like, well, I'm smart. I know the Bible. I tell you, those Pharisees, those Sadducees, they knew the Bible, but they had no clue how to bring glory to God. And so many times people in their lives have done this and they've become so filled with knowledge that they have no understanding of being able to allow that to happen and change their behavior. And then sometimes they've been in church for so long and they're so filled with knowledge. They sit there and they know all the questions to the Bible answers and all the questions to the trivia. And I think that's wonderful. That's great. But has it changed us personally? So not only do we have to sit there and say, okay, I don't need to presume that God is going to do this for me. I need to ask the Lord. I need to depend on the Lord. I need to trust the Lord. But then I need to assess, hey, okay, what is it that God wants? And if it's to bring glory and honor to his name, then what is it that I need to do in changing this direction so I can understand what God's will is? Because it's God's will that we would bring glory to his name. It's God's will that whatsoever we should do, do all to the glory of God. If that's what I'm supposed to do, what did I do in 2023 that needs to change in 2024? Because if this doesn't bring glory to God, there's something I need to change here. If this doesn't bring glory to God, I need to switch something here. That's seeking the will of the Lord. Not only is it that, it's to make a plan, activate a plan. We set goals many times, and I don't know how many times, it's like every single morning when I get up, I want to be surrendered to the Lord. When I wake up, I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not my life, it's your life. But halfway through the day, sometimes in the morning time, I get tripped up. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I need to remember that I have a plan. If you see different things in your life that you want to do and that you need to change, then do it. You say, where do you see that? Well, look what it says at the end of verse number 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. What's the next five words there? To him it is sin. To him it is sin. It's wrong. Start a plan. If there's something, stop just staying in your sin. And he's saying, and there's in the text context of the scripture, verse 13, he says, look, don't presume upon it. Just don't keep on thinking. And then verses 14, 15, hey, ask the Lord. Verse 17, if you know you're supposed to be doing something and you're not doing it, it's sin. So therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So as you're sitting there and saying, okay, what should 2024 look like? What changes do I need to make? And you're sitting here, okay, I know I didn't do as well as I wanted to financially. I know I didn't do as well as maybe I should. I did good over here physically. I did good here. What changes do we need to make? Number one, we're not going to be here forever. So let's make plans based off of what the Bible says about our lives. They're a vapor. So as we're making plans, I can't wait till the end of the year to do something important because tomorrow I might be gone. And then number two, what is the Lord's will here? And as you're looking for the Lord's will and realize, hey, I didn't read my Bible like I should, or I didn't pray like I should, or I look at when's the last time I presented the gospel to somebody, and I realize there are things in my life that are wrong, then I need to activate something or change something to make that happen. So if it is, hey, I have not told anybody, or I have not passed out a gospel tract, or I have not done this to, you know, for a long time, you know, then I say, okay, there's something I need to change. So I need to make a plan. You say, well, why do I need to make a plan? Because it says, if you know you're supposed to be doing it and you don't do it, guess what? It's wrong. It is sin. And sometimes we live our lives and we've been doing something for so long. We've gotten so used to it and so accustomed to it. It's become a stronghold to us that even if someone would mention it and say, hey, look, this is wrong what you're doing. They're like, no, I don't see that. And you can even show it to them in the Bible. This is what it means. They're like, oh, no. And they find some type of excuse. So we must dictate or activate a plan. What changes am I going to make to help be a better whatever it is? And so when we're considering 2024, let's remember that. And I think that sometimes we hastily make new goals and we forget to evaluate where there's some important issues and key issues in our life. Sometimes people will do this when it comes to finances. Okay, I got finances here. I want to do better with finances. And they don't ask the Lord. And because of that, they think, well, maybe I need to work some overtime. Nothing wrong with working and getting out of debt and things like that. Think it's biblical. But if you go outside of God's will and say, well, I'm going to do it on a Sunday. I'm going to do it during church. Or I want to do better in this hobby or this sport or in this relationship. Okay, then talk to the Lord. See what God's will is. But if it turns around and takes away from something that is important, oh, I need to do better here physically. Well, it's the physical things. I think it's great to exercise. But if it takes you away from spiritual things, there's got to be a right balance. And I know that none of us would say, oh, I got the perfect balance. I don't have the perfect balance. And that's why I need to go to the Lord. If I had the perfect balance, then I wouldn't need God, but I need him. And that's what he's saying in verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. And if you've ever been around in Independent Baptist for a while, you hear people say, Lord willing, I'm going to do this, or Lord willing, I'm going to do that. And it's because it's based off of that verse. I mean, how many times do you say, hey, see you on Sunday? And they say, Lord willing. And the reason why is it's saying, if that's what God wants, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's what we should do with our goals. That's what we should look at and say, if the Lord wants me to do it, then I'm going to do it. So when you're writing out different things this year, and I would encourage you, look at your life, consider. The Bible uses that word consider over and over. Consider what's going on in your heart. Consider what's going on in your life. Consider the things in 2023 you succeeded in, 2023 the things that you failed in. All those things, consider all that, yes, but ask the Lord. Lord, what is it you want me to change? What is it you want me to do? And before you decide to set these goals, evaluate the new goals and those things that are most needed. Remember, you have a lot of different responsibilities. You have a lot of different things in your life. So there's 12 different things we're going to look at real quick that I want you to keep minded. This is not original with me, but these are all things I'm sure over the years that I've mentioned. But this is a good list, and I thought this was good. That as you're doing this, remember, as you look at the different things you want to change, that you have different responsibilities. What's your first responsibility? It's to the Lord. It's your relationship with God, your walk with God. This is the most important aspect of your life. It relates to the most vital role of your life, which is a child of God. Anything you do to develop and enrich your walk with God is going to encourage you, is going to help you. So as you're looking at it and saying, okay, these are the changes I want to make for 2024, remember, your life, it's limited. We don't know how long we're going to be here. Number two, we need to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And how do we do that? We do that by seeking the Lord and not just assuming that God's going to give us tomorrow. And we assess our situation and the idea, okay, what is the Lord wants me to do or not do? And then activate. And by the idea is, if you know something needs to change in your walk with the Lord, assess it, you know, look at it. Your identity. Remember that identity is something of a buzzword today, or a legacy is something that people talk about today. But remember that who we are in the Lord. How do we reflect Christ with our lives? Are we in him? In the Sunday morning message, we're going to talk about becoming the gospel, as becometh the gospel of Christ. And the idea that there is something that is attractive and makes things look attractive in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that something, our identity, is it in Christ? You say, well, of course I'm in Christ. Does it show that? Do you live that life reflecting that and showing that? Remember your family. You know, there's next to our salvation, you know, one of the greatest things we have, one of the greatest responsibilities, one of the most valuable gifts is our family. I have no idea how to raise a family except excluding what the Bible tells us. We have tons of different people, good people with good opinions, this and that. But for us, our own personal life inside our own family, dealing with this husband, this wife, these children, you know what we need to do? We need to ask the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We don't assume just because I do this, this, and this, all things are going to work out. He says, no, you can't do that in verse number 13. Don't assume that tomorrow I'm going to do this, tomorrow it's going to do this, everything's going to add up. You get on your face before God and say, God, what is it that I need to do? How do you want me to live? Of course, if we know things in the scriptures, of course we apply those things, but day by day, trusting the Lord for our families. Another thing to put in your list is time. You know, time is something that's valuable. We should be a good steward of it. As we mentioned already here, life is as a vapor in Ephesians chapter number 5, redeeming the time. Why is that? Because we don't have a lot of time. You have 24 hours in a day. If you sit there and you view that, well, how much time did I spend on entertainment versus spiritual things? How much time did I spend working versus, you know, there's an amount of time. If you will look at that and you consider it, the Bible says that's wise. Our health. This is something that some people are really good at. I see people at the gym and they're great shape and they spend hours there sometimes and upon hours. Think health is wonderful and something you should be careful what you eat and what you drink. The Bible talks about all those things, but we should make sure that we understand that our bodies are not an idol, but also our bodies is not something we should ignore. That we should be a wise steward of our body. Health is something that God's given us and we should seek His will for it. Finances, another thing. You know, how we use our finances. And it's important as you got to take all these things into account as you're making decisions. Okay, I want my walk with the Lord right. I want my identity, my family, my time, my health, my finances, my relationships. God has designed us to work together. Is there something wrong with a relationship with somebody? And I'm not just talking about husbands and wives. I'm talking about inside your church, inside your church family, inside the people you work with, inside the extended family. The God has over and over in the scriptures talked about the mindset and the unity that's supposed to be found amongst a body of believers. Faith. Am I trusting the Lord? If you're looking at this, these are the things that God has given us, these different areas of our life. Do I trust the Lord of my life? Thoughts. If you don't keep your thoughts in check, you're going to be a waste to the Lord. That's why the Bible talks about bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Thoughts that they're left unchecked, you know what's going to happen? Stress and worry, they're going to overcome you. You're going to let things rule your emotions. You're going to be willing to compromise because you've allowed things to enter into your heart and your mind. If there's something against the will of the Lord for you, once again, we got to seek the will of the Lord. Cast it down. Cast down those imaginations. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what God wants. And you have something, so no, this is what I want. Cast it down. Bring into captivity. Think about the people you influence. I know some people might say, no one listens to me. Nobody watches me. Nobody cares. I don't influence. Everybody influences someone. And we need to make sure that we take good stock in that. You say, well, pastor, you're the pastor of a church. You get to lead the church. That's God's role for me. But what is God? Well, who has God given you in your life to influence? There are people that sit inside our church that would be influenced more by you than by me. He said, no way. Some people that you're close to, some people, you might not believe this, but not everybody always likes the pastor. Not everybody always understands biblical roles and authority inside the pastor. You know, it doesn't always, sometimes people will take more from what an individual will say and listen to what individuals say more than the pastor will. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but I'm telling you that you have influence over others. I've seen people that have good attitudes and love the church, and then they get around the wrong person. You know what? They're negative then. And they start listening to that person that influences them and that causes them, and it's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's why you should be really careful that we're Christ-like. Things that are becoming of the gospel, that becometh the gospel of Christ, is because you have an influence in others. You say, well, no, I don't. You do. We all have people that we come in contact and we influence others, whether it's inside our family, inside the people we work with, but we should purposely invest that. God, maybe you've only allowed me to influence. Maybe your class only has one or two, but purposely invest in that. I've seen some people who have a lot of people they could invest in, people who yearn for their, not approval, but yearn for someone to pour their life into them. I see people who are willing to just sit there and be willing to take in what someone says and they just ignore it. I don't want to have anything to do with that. No, take the things and opportunities that God's given you, examples of influencing and leadership. Testimony. As some people think it's not really that important, but it is. What people think about you when you claim to be a Christian, many times is what they think about Christ. There are times when no one, there are certain people that will never enter this building. No matter how many postcards, no matter how designed the great the postcard is, no matter what type of great program it is, no matter what type of food that we have out there, there is different people who will never, ever enter into a church building. But you know what? They'll be friends of yours. And you have an opportunity to give that testimony inside Christ, what Christ has done for you. And you can be that testimony and that message of the gospel to them. It's choosing to live a lifestyle based off the habit of God's word. And then a witness. What am I doing with my witness? And what am I doing with the gospel? What a precious gift we have. We have good news in a world full of bad news. If people are looking for good news, and I know what people are going to say. No, they don't want to hear. If we would be spirit-filled Christians that have God all over them and that would learn to love other people, I think many times people just have not met the right Christian. And that someone who loves the Lord, someone who loves God, someone who loves others, if they would meet the right Christian, you know what? It's going to be a lot more attractive, the gospel. And so I'm sure none of us, when you think about those 12 different things, none of us are going to have a perfect balance. It's going to be difficult in the idea that the balancing that happens there. None of us are probably going to, that's why we need the Lord. So when we consider, and I know some of you do, some of you don't, some do certain years, other ones don't. I often look at from a ministry aspect, from a family aspect, from a personal aspect, all those different things. So the first thing that's important to remember is we're not going to be here forever. I mean, some of us, we came here a little bit over 20 years ago. And, you know, at that age, you know, you thought you're going to be here forever. But now, you know, 50, and you're looking back 20 years later, and you're thinking, okay, how much longer is the Lord going to have us here? How much longer am I going to be in this world? And our world, and the Bible teaches us a number of days. The Bible teaches us that we are frail. The Bible teaches us that we must learn to depend on the Lord. And so you first understand that, understand we need the Lord's wisdom. That's what the Bible says, understanding the will of the Lord. In Ephesians 5, James chapter number 4, talking about how our life is as a vapor. So with those things, don't assume. Excess. Take a time to sit there and look. Access what all the things that are happening in your life. Then activate a plan. I bet you all of us in this room would say, you know what? There's something I know I could do better tomorrow for the Lord. And I want to make that principle. I want to make that change. Could be Bible reading. Could be praying. It could be being a witness. Could be forgiving somebody. It could be treating your mate better. Long list of different things. I don't know God's will for your life. But I know God desires for you to seek his will. I know God desires that you would look at life as something that is not a guarantee, something that is a privilege and that is a gift, and that we will steward our life according to his plan and purpose for our lives. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank